You can make a point that since the stuff is still illegal federally, and this is the dichotomy that's out there for the states like Colorado, California, Oregon, Washington, other places that have legalized, marijuana, defined as the point, anything above the .03, is still illegal federally and Schedule I, really bad stuff. It's legal in the states. All right, so we have this dichotomy between legal in the states and highly illegal in the feds. The possibility exists that under the Federal Controlled Substances Act, anywhere that is selling anything that turns out to be marijuana, and you can't tell the difference between the hemp and the marijuana, could be subject to forfeiture. I cannot tell you that there is any, I couldn't find any citation to any situation where that has happened, but legally it could possibly happen. What I have found, and where there's a good deal of litigation, is the fact that under the civil provisions, the private attorney general provisions of RICO, the Racketeering Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, there have been a number of cases brought against the hemp production, not just, well, the marijuana as well as the hemp production. Example, and the leading example, a case in the Denver area, just south of Denver in Parker County, if anyone knows the Denver area. A growing operation was established there, and the farm next door was owned by somebody who was not a fan of recreational marijuana, which is legal in Colorado. And they found the civil side of RICO and sued, claiming damage to their property values because of the growing next door. I am told, I haven't been to one of these places, but there is a growing operation here in Austin. And I'm supposed to go see it in the next week or two. But from what I've been told by people who have been involved in these, growing marijuana stinks. It's skunk. It smells like a skunk. And in order to grow the high potency stuff, which is where the money is, you have to do it in a warehouse facility, because if you grow it out in the field, people come and clip the little buds, you know? So they're grown in warehouses. They're grown under 24-hour daylights. You have to have a great deal of ventilation, which means there's noise, and it smells, all right? So, the neighbor sued in Colorado. The federal judge there said, nah, you haven't stated a cause of action for harm to your property. It goes up to the 10th Circuit, and in my paper, I cite the Safe Streets Alliance versus Hickenlooper from the 10th Circuit, which holds that does state a cause of action against the farmer of the hemp, the landowner, landlord, the retailer where the stuff was sold, the landlord of the retailer, and the bank that funded them. Now that gets the owners of property and the bankers involved in a RICO case, and they don't like it much. Particularly the bankers don't like to have to report to their agencies that we're stuck in a RICO litigation. That's aimed at the mob and the loan sharking people and that sort of thing. It is bad PR. In any case, that case got remanded. It went to a jury. The jury took less in Colorado. The jury took in Denver. The jury took less than an hour to pour out the plaintiff. All right? So that case went away. But there are other similar cases pending in both California, and there have been three that have actually gone on record in Oregon. Two of which have been dismissed on summary judgment for, again, the plaintiff not having standing. But there's one there where a vineyard next door to one of these grow operations has said, I'm losing sales, and can prove they've lost sales because the grapes smell skunky from the operation of the growing next door. And that case will probably go to trial. So RICO is real. RICO cases against marijuana growing are real, even where marijuana growing is legal at the state level. All right, I've already mentioned the banks, none of the national banks will touch the growers or the retail sellers. I have found here locally that I have a client who is selling the CBD stuff, that the local state banks will bank that. But on a national level, where there is recreational marijuana legal in the Colorado and some other places, the banks won't take the deposits, which means that the marijuana outlet places, the dispensaries as they call themselves, are cash heavy, and they are subject to robberies and need security services, etc. Okay, this gets us back into real estate, because if you've got a target place which has a lot of cash in it, does your insurance company really want to insure you against people coming in through the roof? The insurance companies don't like these places. We've said the banks don't like it. If the landlord responds by having extra security, I have friends, believe it or not, across the U.S. who are lawyers, real estate lawyers, and they tell me some of these stories. That's where this comes from. If you have high security costs in your CAM charges, your pass-throughs for your tenants, the other tenants don't like it. Some other tenants don't want to go into a retail situation where there is a marijuana dispensary within the shopping center. Contra to that, there's been one study I've seen that showed that the market value of homes within walking distance of dispensaries in Denver, Colorado, has gone up. All right, who knows? In any case, in the retail real estate business, at least, because of the banking issues, the insurance issues, the security issues, the CAM issues, problems with other tenants, this gets into real estate.